It was 120 degrees in Las Vegas on Sunday. That's the hottest day ever recorded, and it's sending people to the emergency room.
CBS's Carter Evans, in Las Vegas, 120, in Death Valley, 131, set records. And here in Pittsburgh, it'll feel like it will be in excess of 100 degrees in some cases as we get into the low 90s. So, Paul, the weather kind of tops all stories once again.
And you've got a barrel tracking from Arkansas to Michigan today, spreading what they're saying might be heavy flooding rain across southern Mississippi and Ohio valleys, Larry. Wow. Yeah. Between the heat and the rain. And can you imagine what it's like to be living in Houston right now with the high temperatures, the flooding, and no electricity?
Yeah, they had at one point, imagine this, folks, 3 million people without power, and their power grid shut down. Now they're slowly getting people back online, but keep in mind, obviously, if you don't have power, you don't have air conditioning. So on top of the heavy moisture in the extreme heat, it's insufferable just to be there. And I'm thinking, for anybody that thinks, and it's hot here, there's no doubt, we're not used to, you know, steady temperatures in the 90s. This will be day 8 where we've hit 90 or above. It's even more uncomfortable in places like Houston and really anywhere south of here.
The National Weather Service summary of the nation's weather says that many locations around the country will break daily record high temperatures and even approach all-time records today.
So a heat advisory officially from the National Weather Service from noon until 8 p.m. for this day. And it should be a little cooler tomorrow with some of that moisture. But we're going to get just, it looks like scattered showers right now tomorrow as opposed to, you know, the full force of the tropical moisture.
How hot is it, Larry? In my neighborhood, almost all of my neighbors have closed their blinds.
Yeah. Maybe they just didn't want to see you. You knew that was coming. Sorry, that was too easy.
A hanging curveball.
Hey, that was just too easy. That was like Paul Skeens throwing right there. All right, Pittsburgh police made an announcement. Will be further expanding its patrol presence downtown following a recent uptick in crime. Their words, not mine or Marty's, and disorderly activity. In response, a new high-visibility police patrol initiative aims to create a safer environment in the district. So, Paul, you said one of the things that they will do is they'll have a car with its lights on, right?
They will. They'll be doing that, and with the idea being that people who see it will be less likely to do anything dumb or criminal, for that matter. Here's a reaction to this plan from a gentleman by the name of Tyran Jefferson. He had this comment for KDK TV.
I think this might be a good thing. Because of what's going on, everybody's still down here for the buses and all that. So more police presence at night actually might do a good justice down here.
And a couple from Cranberry.
It sounds like a Band-Aid, which isn't going to help everyone.
It's concerning that, I mean, the number of police officers keeps dwindling, and the city's really not investing in, you know, in the number of police officers we have.
We were listening there to Sharon and Howard Russell talk with KDKA-TV.
One of the issues, Marty pointed this out yesterday when we talked before he took over the air chair at 10, was the fact that there are all these retirements and they're not able to replace them. It's not, I don't think, an effort in terms of wanting to hire more police officers. They just can't get qualified candidates to the level they need to replace those leaving and the retirements.
9 retirements from the Bureau of Police on Monday alone.
And yesterday, 4 p.m., I happened to go to the airport to pick up my son. And I videoed a long line. I showed Aaron, our producer. I posted this, and people, the comments from people about the TSA line that extended all the way down in the corridor past
where TSA lines. And I just picked it up way before the line ends. This is crazy.
Yeah, it was absolutely the longest I have ever seen. And keep in mind, I was there the day the airport opened. And I've never seen anything close to that.
Larry, just minutes ago, we have a new story about the airport just to hit my inbox. It says 15 new concessions are set to open at the airport.
Oh, the new one, yeah.
No, yeah, right, the new terminal, I guess.
They're announcing who the concessionaires are for the new terminal.
I wonder, you know, how the new terminal fits into the old X-shaped, you know, airside terminal. And I wonder how many of these concessions are going to wind up in the concourses or the in that shopping mall area as well.
Well, they're going to have, apparently, and you know what? We'll talk to Rich Fitzgerald tomorrow about this because he knows a lot about the details of the airport. And he's our weekly Wednesday guest in our 7 o'clock hour. That's a great point. This new terminal, so the elimination of the tram, there'll be no train. You'll go right to airside. That's where you'll be, the gates. There's a whole area that'll be brand new. And these concessionaires, I'm sure, will be very excited to be a part of that.
15 is a lot.
So whenever they announce that they're, you know, in the, with construction projects, I don't care if you're having a stone placed at your home. You know what I mean? One of those stepping stones. There's always delays. So you can imagine a billion-dollar construction project. They can't lock down exactly when they're going to open. They just promise it'll be next year.
They promise that they're going to get it running right before they open it as well. One other note about these new concessions, they say they include fashion, cosmetics, and gift stores with also sit-down dining or healthy quick service.
Well, there you go. Little breaking news.
Little of everything.
And we've got it here on the Big K Morning Show. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you up to date with breaking news and weather information, even baseball, like we had yesterday. It was fun to carry the game. I happened to hear, Paul, the fifth inning where the Pirates busted out the bats and scored five runs. So they split the series with the Mets. They're on to Milwaukee. And at the end of this week, they're going to close out for a All-Star break next week.
I want to point out that Mitch Keller had a really, really good performance. He won his 10th game of the season. The last time someone did that, a Pirates pitcher won 10 games before the All-Star break.
It's like 9 years ago.
Gerrit Cole.
Who turned out to be a superstar.
Yep, Gerrit Cole.
And a World Series winner. Yeah, that's a long time.
So how good is Paul Skeens if they've asked him to come to the All-Star game and bypass Mitch Keller?
How hacked off do you think those guys are privately? I mean, not hacked off at Paul, just the fact that, hey, I've been here, I'm doing a great job.
He was chosen last year, and this year he's being upstaged by a potential superstar.
And then Jared Jones, who's been here since day one of this season, he's been overall really good. He's probably saying, well, now he's on the injury list.
They're friends, too, though.
Yeah.
Jared Jones and Paul Skeens, so I don't know if there's any animosity there. But, you know, I am surprised Major League Baseball didn't invite another Pirate pitcher. I am surprised about that. That's clearly, they probably have the best pitching rotation right now in the major leagues.
It's pretty impressive. They can consistently hit. I mean, they're so close, and it's frustrating when they blow games like they did on Sunday, and then you see yesterday, man, just give them a little bit of an opening, and you know, it's exciting. They're getting fans. They had like 17,000 there yesterday in that heat.
It was a good idea to bring Palacios up. That two-run homer really set the fireworks off.
Yeah, that was his first. And so, yeah, it was a fun day. And love that we carry baseball. Those day games are really fun to listen to. There's something, to me, magical about baseball on the radio. Still is.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Hey, by the way, Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette columnist, sports columnist, has written a really good story. It's in today's paper about O'Neill Cruz being involved in the home run derby. And I thought, after reading it, I thought, you know, the way he hammers the ball and hits it as fast and as hard as he does, it's right up there in the upper echelon of the league. I would like to see how O'Neill Cruz would do in the home run derby. And you don't have to be invited, from what I picked up in the article. You just, you can go.
Wait a minute.
How about that?
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either until this morning.
Well, it would be exciting to have him there because he's, you talk about a power hitter, O'Neal Cruz.
Like, man.
Especially since he's 9 foot tall. Hey, by the way, Paul Skeen's girlfriend, the famous gymnast, a national champion.
Libby Dunn.
From LSU, Libby Dunn, has announced that she's going to return to LSU for her fifth gymnastic season. Quote, not done yet. So she will be headed back to college after hanging out in Pittsburgh with her boyfriend, Paul Skeens, who, and she's been seen, they've been seen around town. They're kind of like a thing when you see them. Have you seen them?
Not yet, no, but I'm sure I will at some point.
I'm pretty sure I won't see them. Places I go. Maybe, I don't know, where would they go? They're probably some cool eateries or I don't know where they're living.
I wouldn't be surprised to find them down on East Carson Street, somewhere down there.
I was going to say that, Paul.
Like
I was going to say...
Nakama?
Yeah, Nakama. I was even going to say a few sports bars, but then I realized they're both elite athletes. So yeah. They're probably not getting into that too much, but food places down there.
For his birthday, or no, not his birthday, for the All-Star, she bought all these balloons... I saw the social media.
Oh, I saw that yesterday. It was cute. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he came home from PNC Park and found out, you know, he was an all-star, she had their apartment filled
decked
with
out.
These all-star, it said all-star, you know, in balloons.
I love it.
And
yeah.
A pizza and a bottle of wine.
Yep.
I like it.
Good
yep.
for them. Good for them.
Living your life. Hey, live your life, man. Take every second and enjoy it. And you're only 22 once. Oh, my God. With all that talent.
That is so young.
Come on.
Wow.
Man. And she's 21, by the way. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll go.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Go live to AccuWeather and get an update on the heat, when we'll get a break, and tropical moisture, some headed this way. We'll get the details. In the meantime, TSA lines, Paul Rasmussen, you and I have been checking Fly Pittsburgh, which is a good resource to find out what the wait times are for security after I saw really, really long lines yesterday afternoon. And, of course, we reported on that yesterday morning after TSA announced that they would, as of July 8th, move from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. the TSA pre-check to the alternate checkpoint upstairs. But in the meantime, the main line is, where are we now, like 34 minutes? I just
I think that's right.
Checked
yeah.
a couple moments ago.
No, I was just thinking, you had 14,000 furries that were in town, and I know that this is not an accurate number when I say what I'm about to say, but let's just say that all of them flew, and let's say that all of them got on planes that held 200 passengers each. Guess how many flights that is? 70. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow.
They don't move 70 an hour now, right? Maybe every 2 hours when it's really busy.
Yeah, and keeping in mind, in the interest of fairness, it has been the record-setting week in air travel in particular. So, single day, what, 3 million, they said, across the country?
Yeah.
They went through TSA security checkpoints.
That's a 22-year all-time high.
And 2 weeks ago, they put out an alert to airline passengers. Here, give yourself 2.5 to 3 hours minimum from your actual scheduled flight time, your departure time, to get through security. Many people did miss their flights, I've heard, because it's a crapshoot. You never know when you get there exactly what the line is going to be. You can predict peak times like mornings, 4 to 7. But when there's an issue, I'm being told that there's like a 25-minute minimum lockdown. So if they come across somebody with a weapon or a gun, they got to shut everything down. And they don't announce necessarily when that's happening.
Can you imagine having a flight that's boarding when you're standing in line because you can't get through? Wow. Boy, would I be hot.
So the short-term solution is, it is literally a crapshoot. So you don't know for sure when you go. That's why they're just saying, make sure you have an abundance. Of course, we're creatures of habit. A lot of us, you know, we're spoiled here because we've been able, for the most part, to sail through those TSA security lines. And that's not necessarily the case right now. Although, we have promised the new airport will be much larger and capable of doing more. And we just learned moments ago, Paul, thanks for pointing this out, that the airport modernization project is adding new local, national, global brands, including Shake Shack and MAC Cosmetics, to the new airport.
Wow, Shake Shack, that's going to be hopping.
They're going to sell a lot of stuff. Yeah, they're going to have more shopping and dining choices, which was a request from travelers. I guess they did surveys. Hey, what can we do better with this new airport? So you have the new lineup includes several local brands, Wexford-based coffee and tea house, Cafe Conmigo, and national brands including Jimmy John's, the award-winning breakfast restaurant Bad Egg, Modern Deli Stack and Press Delicatessen, Mexican restaurant Mi Casa Cantina, and Camden Food Market. So there you go. And there's one other. Sambazan, I don't know how to say that. A-C-A-I?
How about Sambazan?
Sambazan?
Acai bowls.
Oh, okay.
That's a healthy choice.
I can't wait till this health craze blows over. But those are the new, along with Shake Shack.
Yeah, I'd make a beeline for Shake Shack. That's my deal. And then Mexican after that. Mi Casa, I guess, would be the...
I don't know. Do you want to load up on Mexican before you get on a long journey?
Yeah, well, maybe not.
Depends on how long your flight's going to be. So, yeah, they just announced these new concessionaires. Pretty exciting, though, when that new airport opens. I think we should do our show from there.
Absolutely.
I'm going to lobby for that. All right, coming up, we're going to go live to AccuWeather, get a update on this tropical moisture that's headed near us. Will it be close enough to make a big difference? We'll find out next on the Big K Morning Show. And let's go live to AccuWeather's world headquarters, meteorologist Joe Lundberg. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Heat. The heat is on, but this should be the hottest day of the week, but it's still going to remain sticky for a while, right?
Yeah, I don't really see any significant reduction in humidity levels, even behind what ostensibly will end up being a quote-unquote cold front that'll come through tomorrow afternoon. We're still expecting the humidity to be pretty high even Thursday and Friday, and I think the heat comes right back this weekend. I think temperatures Saturday and Sunday have a shot at 90 degrees once again.
Joe, what's the situation with the remnants of Beryl, which I assume are going to arrive in our area at some point in around Wednesday or Thursday, right?
Yeah, it looks like the track of that right now is moving north-northeastward. It will bring soaking rain through northern Arkansas and Missouri today and then continue to spread it northeastward, cut across portions of central and eastern Illinois, and then up across parts of Indiana and into Michigan. That area of low pressure probably cuts across Lake Erie, I would think, sometime later tonight. So it's ostensibly what drives the front through our area tomorrow, during the afternoon hours. And out ahead of it, there could be a shower or thunderstorm. In fact, any one of those thunderstorms has the potential to produce tornadoes. We've seen that happen before, and wouldn't shock me if that happened. Right now, I think most of them are to the east of the city, but it's certainly well within the realm of possibility tomorrow.
Well, it hopefully will not change course. We're grateful that we're not going to get the heavy, heavy rains, obviously.
No, we're just, you know, there could be some tropical downpours in any shower or thunderstorm, but not a steady hour after hour soaking. We're not going to see that. And then I think it's just dry for Friday and Saturday. Again, I think Friday we're probably in the mid-80s. Saturday we're probably going to be up near 90, and I think low 90s Sunday. It looks like there may be some relief from the heat and humidity by next Tuesday or Wednesday. Another strong front will come down from the north and west, so it'll give us a couple of days of relief later next week.
All right, Joe, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's World Headquarters. So we're going to dodge this one.
Yes, Joe was saying, I was just looking at the National Hurricane Center's rainfall predictions for Beryl over the next 2 days, and the track that he outlined is exactly right. And we don't have any significant rain here in Pennsylvania to speak of, except maybe a Wilkes-Barre Scranton might get a little that way.
My yard's getting pretty brown, though. It's a little early in the season for it to be this brown. It went from lush green with all the rain we had leading up to June, and now it's starting to burn out.
Same thing at my place.
Yeah, burnout. I know the feeling. Everything you need every time you listen. What do you got, Paul? You got something. I know you got something.
I recently read an article about how American tourism in Europe is changing the economy there. Well, we've got an example of that now. In Barcelona, where thousands of protesters were marching to demonstrate against mass tourism. How many people do you know, Larry, who've been to Spain recently?
Actually, in the past maybe 2 years, I've heard of more people that I know who have gone to Spain than I ever heard in my entire life.
I think if you go around the room in a big room full of people, I think you'd find at least half of them have been to Spain or know someone who's been to Spain. I do. So anyway, these protesters went by a restaurant or two. They had water guns, and they were squirting the tourists.
They're squirting? You mean with water guns?
Yeah, with water pistols.
Well, that'll teach them.
And so here's what's going on. Spanish authorities say the cost of housing in Barcelona, which is the country's most visited city, has gone up 68% in the last 10 years. So here's what one of the protesters has to say about that. He says, listen, the authorities in Barcelona need to take care of residents, not tourists.
The last years, the city has turned completely for tourists, and what we want is a city for citizens and not in service of tourists.
There you go.
They don't want us anymore.
There's too many. And the demand for housing in Spain is so intense, it's driving up costs almost 70% in 10 years. That's amazing. But so many people that I've spoken to who've been to Spain didn't stay in hotels. They went the Airbnb route.
I don't know. Have you ever done an Airbnb?
Mm-mm.
I've heard people like it. I've never done it. I just wouldn't be comfortable going into somebody else's house. I'm sure, and you know, maybe at some point we'll talk to somebody. Aaron, you introduced us to the people that have that business where
Turo.
It's Turo, where you do the same thing with cars.
So right, right.
You can literally rent somebody's cars. And
yep.
You know, this husband and wife, they get like a dozen cars. That's what they do for a living now.
Yeah, it's a growing business.
The
it
closest
really is.
I've come to doing Airbnb is like renting a cabin at a state park.
It is kind of a little bit, depending on where you're going, not the safest option. Me and my husband's best friends, they went to celebrate their anniversary, and luckily they made it out in time. They weren't going to get murdered or anything, but some people will Airbnb their basement if it's very decked out and they made it really nice and they didn't see the owner the entire time. And at night, the husband goes out to pack up the car, looks through the window, and the owner's pacing back and forth across the window. They got their stuff and left so quickly. So, you know.
That sounds like a
horror movie.
For serious. Exactly. Good God.
The whole Airbnb thing is a little disturbing to me, but people are making a living and utilizing it every day of the week. So I got to learn more about it. I'm just not necessarily, especially the ones where the family's still in the house.
Yes, that I don't agree with. If no one's home, I think it's okay.
I would want total privacy.
Yes.
Except for the hidden cameras.
True. Honestly true.
Really.
And now on voyeur cam.
You have to assume that everything you do is on camera. I mean, we got cameras all over the studio. Oh, I used to be in radio.
Right.
You got to go with the flow, right?
Mm-hmm.